You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
So I'm here with Matt Gillett, and he's from Imagine On, which is a very groovy public library in Charlotte. So, Matt, could you tell me a bit about your role there and just what you guys are doing?
My title is a technology education librarian. My role is to work within programming for children, tweens, as we could call them, basically the 9 through 12 year olds and teens, and sort of enhance existing programs with sort of technological, more information technology types of things and media, but also to develop new programs that help them learn more and make them more creators of media and creators with technology rather than just sort of sitting there and consuming things either by via watching a movie or television. They can actually learn how to create those or playing a game. We hope to get into some game creation and things like that. Fantastic. That's primarily my role.
Okay, and that's obviously a mindset shift there from a public library point of view, because, you know, when I was a kid, which is 10 years, 15 years ago, you know, public libraries were a source of information. You'd go and consume books or take them out or whatever. Now, do you see the whole library ethics or mindsets changing then, because you're talking about creating rather than consuming?
Yes, I hope so. It's kind of a thing that's occurring in several different fronts that I've seen within libraries, on the youth side, with especially with teens interested in interacting more and rather than consuming, and they've shown that through various ways. MySpace is the big one, but then they are showing up for classes that teach them how to do things rather than just coming in and checking out a CD or a DVD. But then we also see it in the adult realm in some ways, where there's several libraries that are doing fairly innovative things with their online presence, where adults can participate in sort of creating the conversation of making a better library or a service and being a part of that service rather than just being consumers of that. So it's changing, and it's not going to be a quick change, but it's sort of shifting to a role away from the storehouse and the consuming end, and more into sort of interaction and creation. And we see it in interaction within libraries too, where there's the big movement, and it's been happening for about 2 or 3 years, where we do a lot of gaming programs within libraries, where kids come and play games, adults come and play video and computer games, and we have competitions and things like that. So.
That's fantastic, because you've got a studio, you're reading online, you've got a studio eye there at Imagine On, which is
yes.
What I've read about it, is a multimedia production studio. Is that the kind of things you're doing then in Imagine On? You're putting on these things that kids can experience and learn by doing rather than learn by telling?
Oh, yes. In fact, you know, Imagine On's barely a year old now. I've been there about 3 months, and I've seen some really interesting things, some great projects. We do stop-motion animation. We do full-motion video. One of the most popular classes in the last, at least since I've been there, was a class taught by a colleague on creating your own music video. Kids love to do that and get in front of the camera and sing and rap and do whatever. But then there's also there's a couple of interns that work in Studio I. They're usually high school age that have won awards, national awards, for some of their stop motion work that they've done at using Studio I and the technology we have there. And actually, there's some interesting things going on starting up this fall, where there's a director's club that's starting. And then there's also a documentary club that actually started last night, where Barry Newman is teaching kids how sort of the documentary process, and then hopefully at the end of several weeks coming out with a nice finished product where kids have sort of done a project that's a documentary.
Fantastic. And if I could explore with you, now you guys share your facility, you're not just a public library, you're a theater as well. Could you tell us a bit about that and how the both entities, in a sense, you know, complement each other?
Oh yeah, that's the exciting part in being in the same place with a children's theater. You know, library libraries have typically been sort of, I don't know how to put it, stagnant, dry, whatever. But then when you mix us with a real creative bunch, not that librarians or library staff aren't creative, it really brings out that side of us. So I think we temper each other and try to, you know, build a message that, you know, Imagine On is about telling stories, and especially in those formative years of youth, letting youth tell their own stories and learning about how to tell stories. And you know, the theater, I think what they provide is tremendous in that we can interact and sort of mix that together in a way that maybe hasn't been done before or hasn't been done that much in terms of a public institution trying to do that or nonprofits trying to do that. Rather than a university or a specialized school doing that.
Yeah, definitely. And reading more of your stuff online, you talk a lot, there's a lot of rhetoric online about the giving experiences to kids, but also having their parents there to enjoy it with them, and vice versa. And you're very much focused on the family ethics. Is how important, how much importance do you place on that then?
I think it's very important. I know traditionally, I can't really speak from the theater background, but in libraries, especially with children and youth, there's always a real strong tie with parents coming in and bringing their kids and, you know, going through the summer reading programs and various book clubs and things like that and activities that we offer for youth. But also, it's a message we want to send. That's what we're there for. It also reflects the values of the community. Charlotte is a big family community, and you know that's an important part. Not that other communities aren't, but that's a big part, I think, as to why the facility is there and was built in the way that it was.
Because I asked the question because obviously young people now, they get into they got a lot mobile phones access, they got their iPods, they lots of online activities is very singular.
Right.
And you're
right.
Obviously trying to bring that family element back in, which is right. Obviously is great and it's commendable. I'm not knocking it. But how do you find it's easy to do, or do you find that young people kind of still want to do these activities either with each other or their peers or in those singular groups?
I think it's a mixture, and it as in lots of things in life, it depends on the individual themselves. Mm. But from my experience, at least in the 3 months that I've been here, most of the youth want some sort of either, you know, their parents to see what they're doing or some sort of involvement. In the past, I've done other types of projects in other libraries where we've had film festivals and gaming classes where we teach them how to make games, and they always want to show their parents the work that they've done. And so that's sort of a result of some of the things that have been done in the past. We wanted to show films on the big screen so that parents had the opportunity to see that. And you know that creates that connection with them, with youth especially, in that these things that you can do with the computer are interesting, and your parents want to know about them, and you want to show them so that when they do get into the MySpaces and things like that, they're not as apt to want to keep that to themselves. And in fact, I've taught a class recently with another colleague on MySpace for parents, and some of the statistics that we see from a study, there was a study done just a few months ago in California, or at least reported on, where 70% of the kids who have MySpace profiles have no problem with their parents seeing it and wouldn't be bothered by that. So, you know, that's an indication of the age group. You know, they're not always doing what, you know, the media tends to sort of say that they're they're getting into trouble and all that. So,
well, that kind of leaves me on to the final sort of question I'd love to sort of explore with you, which is the recent, I think, bill that was passed in the House of Representatives or Senate. I can never get them right. But anyway,
it's the House.
Yeah, yeah, okay, thank you. And around DOPA. And if you could just briefly give me your kind of take on all that.
Well, it's the act is Deleting Online Predators Act. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the intentions are good, but sometimes it helps to really look and see what youth are doing within public environments and in their private environments within their home life. Because you know, just because you pass an act that says libraries or schools who receive funding of this sort and not all libraries and schools receive the funding that this act would affect, doesn't mean that kids still won't have access to MySpace, and doesn't mean that they won't be influenced by people that shouldn't be influencing them, or you know, distracting them, or you know, predators or whatever. So the intentions are excellent, and you know, I'm a parent too. I have teenagers, and I understand what they're trying to get at, but at the same time, we as public libraries are places where we can also inform people and help to make them better users of media and safe, you know, teach parents and their youth how to safely use these things. And that's what we have been trying to do recently. And we are offering another suite of classes that sort of enforce that too, is teaching about social networking or social software and teaching them how to use it in a responsible way and a beneficial way. That's what it's about. We don't want to lose that opportunity as public institutions to be able to do that. But, you know, we work with what we're given. And, you know, the public is, if they pass the law, if they make the policy, then we follow that.
But it's frustrating because I come from a standpoint of you got to educate rather than legislate.
Yes, and I'm sure yes, you that, do too. That is much more beneficial in the long run, I think.
So. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there, Matt. I just want to thank you for giving up your time to speak to Media Snackers today.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.